Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Free beer for 19 years?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I got my ID on me.
I know you're getting ready to get married. I know you're getting ready to change your life.
Uh-huh.
And if I could give you anything,
an immediate alcohol addiction would
that's
be.
That's right.
Okay, great.
Well, you're going to need it when you get married.
But you're going to need that. Yeah. You're getting married.
Ask this guy.
Well, I'm going to have kids, apparently. I need that
oh,
to
yeah,
get
you do. My especially for homecoming weekend.
Ask
yeah.
this guy what's in his hand Friday at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, 11 a.m. Yeah. Yes. Well, that's exactly right.
And so,
tell me
yeah,
more, Dusty.
Yeah, so Busch Light is offering beer for 19 years. There's only one catch. Got to change your name legally to Hunter.
What's the significance of Hunter?
Well, the Busch Light is for hunters. You know, yeah. they got the camo cans and all that kind of okay. stuff. And so you change your name to Hunter and boom, you can have Busch
Do
Light.
Do you, Hunter, take Busch Light to be right. your lawful wedded wife?
Busch Apple to be your...
What a drop that would be at the altar.
Yeah.
Coming up in about, you know... Dude, like, a little
like
under 2 months,
man.
Yeah, 4 weeks. What's the date again?
November 7th.
November 8th. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, we're a month away this
oh,
week. Yeah.
Oh, it's getting there. It's getting there.
Oh, we'll be there.
We can't wait.
What's the significance of
19?
Or what's the yes? And what about a natural born hunter?
Yeah, I don't know.
Are they eligible?
I don't know about that. That's a good
like
question.
Hunter, I'm pissed.
Yeah. Hunter Fietti is going to drink Busch Light for free for the next
right.
19 years.
Hang on a second. You see that car that just drove by? That's Maloney running down to the courthouse to change his name legally. Oh, my God. I haven't seen Rob Maloney move that fast ever. He just heard free Busch Light for 19 years to change his name.
He changed his name faster than Ocho Cinco.
It's like, dude, Hunter would be totally a great name. I could get a new bar and call it the Hunter's Den.
Yeah.
And I could use my Busch Light to save money because I don't drink it.
That's right. Yeah. He would sell it out the back.
Yo, he's peddling Busch Light. Yeah.
yeah.
How'd you profit this year, Hunter? Well, I changed my name and I sold free beer for a profit.
That's right.
Isn't that capitalism? Well, there's different variations. I don't think there is. I think there's one clear definition. Yeah, all those bobbleheads I get, they go to Marketplace.
That's right.
Flex. But yeah, that's just, God.
I mean, how many people are actually going to do that?
I
right?
would 100%
and
do it.
Would, if you were younger, like I told you, if I was like early 20s, probably, you know, I would constantly, or I would actually
Hunter
think
Fesco.
About that. Hunter Fesco. I would think about that.
And so,
Hunter Likens.
I mean, it's a lot cooler than Dusty.
Hunter Williams well, actually sounds good.
When yeah. you win a lifetime supply of something or a year, don't they give you the option?
Well, see, well, no, I don't think we're getting a cash option here for the Busch
right,
Light.
But I'm saying, imagine a college kid being 21 years old, changing his name to Hunter, and getting the payout of this 19-year supply up front. And
right.
what a legend Hunter
crazy.
Now is.
Well, you would have to probably do that your freshman year, I would think, in college. Like skirt the rules a little bit. I know you're not 21. We can figure things out, right? Go ahead and do your thing. But if you do it at 21, you've kind of missed that college window you get for like the last year and a half or so.
Yeah, but you're going to grad school if you get 19 years of Busch Light. You're hanging around that campus as long as possible. You're failing a class. You're forgetting to register. Fair. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but how much are you getting? Are you getting one case a month? Are you getting, you know, a six-pack a week and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, you get a six-pack of tall boys every 4 weeks.
Yeah, so. See, yeah. I don't know that I'm going to do that. Like now, if it's unlimited, where you just show up and you get as much as you want, kegs, you know, you're doing parties, all that kind of stuff, fine. But I guarantee you there's going to be some sort of limit that's placed on this.
I just always wonder about what the marketing meetings are when they come up with this sort of like propaganda. Hey, I've got a great idea, Terry. What's that, Dave? What if we told people if they change their name to, oh, I don't know, Hunter, they get beer for free for 19 years. You think anybody would do that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's run with
it. Let's do it. Well, you know? I'll be full transparency. When our, I think it was our second daughter was going to be born, we wrote to Yingling and we said to them, we said, if we name our child Yingling Von Fesco, would you pay for college for their for college for them, right? And they said no. But we thought, well,
thank God they did.
Yes, exactly.
She would have never stood a chance in life.
No chance at all. No, none.
They want to be homeschooled.
Yeah. Probably not going to go to college after that, you know, be ridiculed your whole life. But, you know, there was a time where I had a brief moment where I'm like, hey, Yingling Von Fesco would be a very good name.
Yeah, going back to those marketing meetings, though, a case of Busch Light a month or whatever they're giving away, it's going to cost, I mean, you're asking for like, the moon compared to this. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I was asking for actual cash dollars. Bush Light free for, you know, for years is pennies in comparison to college, yes.
Imagine the nerds that change their name and don't win.
Now, is it a contest or is it you automatically change your name and you get that Busch Light?
I feel like we got to check this thing.
Yeah, out. I think we probably got to get through all the details on that. Mark Sanchez would know.
Oh, my gosh. So this is like one of those times where a sports story that doesn't really involve sports but involves somebody involved in sports kind of like takes over your weekend.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think it was it Saturday morning we woke up? Yeah, I think it was Saturday morning I wake up and I'm like, damn. Mark Sanchez got like Paul Pierce. Like this guy just like gets stabbed. And of course, all these people that are, you know, friends with him, like I think it was Orlovsky was like, I know Mark, he's a nice guy. I'm praying for him. I hope he's all right. And you're like, damn, Mark Sanchez got stabbed and like he's in, you know, not critical, but stable condition, whatever they were calling it. And then you get the next tweet and it's Mark Sanchez is going to be arrested and booked on charges in this whole thing. You're like, wait a minute. And then they kind of give you the story and, you know, it comes out, you know, finally we get like all the details. So former Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez was acting erratically, body slammed a truck driver who then stabbed Mark Sanchez in Indianapolis because he feared for his life, the police say. The guy was a 69-year-old truck driver parked at a hotel loading dock to collect used cooking oil and was confronted by Mark Sanchez, who claimed the truck couldn't be there, citing the hotel manager. Sanchez, smelling of alcohol and slurring, climbed into the truck's cab, ignoring the driver's protests. New footage now shows Sanchez following the driver, blocking his access to the truck, and shoving him. Mark then threw the driver against a wall and then to the ground. The driver, who was feared for his life, used pepper spray, which briefly affected Sanchez, and then when Mark went at him again, the driver stabbed him two or three times in the chest. Sanchez was stunned and fled from the scene and then was hospitalized with critical injuries. Sanchez has since been arrested for battery, unlawful vehicle entry, and public intoxication. A very wild story where it's always happens in our life where somebody that you don't expect out of nowhere has something like this. I know these are drastically different stories, but in the 90s, it was like, wait a minute, OJ's a murderer?
Right.
You know, you're like, I had no idea. He was always nice. And then you hear this about like Sanchez, who's clearly intoxicated, but yet there's this demon that comes out of nowhere and a 69-year-old truck driver just doing his job and a drunk idiot in Mark Sanchez body slamming, throwing this guy to the ground. Mark Sanchez is no slouch of a human.
Right.
And like, I watch FS1. I watch all those shows on there. He's a normal guest on Colin Cowherd's show. And every time he's on there, he's insightful, seems nice, seems, you know, all this. And then you hear this story this weekend where, oh yeah, Mark Sanchez was stabbed. It's like bad injuries. And then all of a sudden it's like, now he's arrested and going to jail because of the actual story that came out. And you're like, this is insane to
it's insanity, right? Like you wake up in the morning, you're like, Mark's, because somebody texted me. We were very busy this weekend, and a buddy of mine, my friend Joe, texted me, goes, I have this Mark Sanchez thing. I'm like, what? You know, I started looking into it, like, oh my God, this is bizarre. First of all, we've all been Mark Sanchez, where somebody parks in the handicap spot where they shouldn't, or somebody parks illegally and they shouldn't.
Oh, yeah.
You don't attack them, right? You get ticked off. You may think about slashing their tires. You may want to call the cops. 9 times out of 10, you're not attacking the guy that parks illegally. You're looking at him and you're going, you're a selfish son of a you-know-what, right?
Oh, yeah. Saw it at Target on Saturday.
Exactly. You see it every day.
And he knew I caught him because I looked at the license plate and I looked over and I was like, and he just was like, get out of here.
You loser, right? You're parking where you're not supposed to be.
For sure.
But like, I've actually had two instances of this. I was telling you last night, it was like early 2000s. I was going to meet somebody in Westport one night. It was like a Monday or a Tuesday night. It was really late, like 10, 11 o'clock at night. I was before I was doing, you know, every morning, right? And so I go down there and I'm sitting at the red light right there by where the bunker is, you know, in Westport. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden this guy gets in my car. And I looked at him, I go, what the hell? And this was before Uber and all this kind of stuff, right? This is like 2001, 2002, that era.
Yeah, you're still whistling at yellow cars.
Yeah, exactly. And hoping a taxi would drive by in Kansas City, right? Guy gets in my car, and then he has one of those moments where he realized, I'm in the wrong car. And he got out, he ran. And then the Sanchez thing, I was listening to or reading about this yesterday. I'm like, this was like when the bloody naked guy showed up at our house, right? And they couldn't get this guy to stop, right? They tased him 8 times in our neighbor's driveway. And finally, on the 8th tase, he went down. And the cops said, look, we were ready to shoot him. Because he was biting the police officers. He was spitting. He was coming after the cops. Like, the booze and the drugs in your system gets you going to a level that you're all of a sudden, in, you know, Encino man, and you're coming after everybody. And you're not, Mark Sanchez is lucky they did not do anything that would have taken his life in that situation.
I mean, the fact the guy pepper sprayed him and he was still just fighting through that. Like, I've been in a crowd where they pepper sprayed away from him just to break the crowd up, and I was coughing and rubbing my eyes and all this. I was, and you know, I'm not a former football player, but that's, yeah, man, what a wild story.
Yeah.
So and then he was supposed to broadcast the Raiders and Colts game as a Fox like game, and they were like, hey, Brady, Quinn, that is, we've got a question for you. What's up, guys? Hey, so Mark's out. So they called the backup quarterback to go in for the quarterback because he was clearly injured and out. And Brady Quinn ends up calling the game for the Raiders and the Colts. And Mark Sanchez is incarcerated and got stab wounds because, again, like, you know, 69-
Brady Quinn may have just found himself a new job, too.
Look, man, opportunity waits, man. Yep. When it knocks, open and take full advantage because. I gotta think, Bob, that they're not gonna continue to employ Mark Sanchez at Fox.
I wouldn't think in this day and age that, you know, that Mark Sanchez has a career moving forward.
When we first
read
the headline, what were we thinking? Mark Sanchez was out with some people, somebody didn't
attacked
like him.
You know, yep, right, exactly. Yeah.
Not at all the case. Not even remotely close.
No, not at all. It reminded me, like, that pepper spray reminded me of the tasers. Like, people get to these points, man, where their bodies just are, I don't even know what the word is. Like, they just turn into the Incredible Hulk because of the booze, because of the drugs, because of whatever they put in their system, and they don't give up. And the pepper spray didn't take him down. Imagine being tased 8 times, Dusty, and still not going down.
I don't. In the face. Oh, God. Hey, by the way, I don't know if you guys know this or not. The Chiefs play tonight against Jacksonville, and I can only think of one thing to say, and that is time to shine.
Let's
dive
go.
Into it on the other side here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on a Red Monday, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports, Kansas City Chiefs football. You know the promos you hear all the time 3 hours before a game starts. So what, 4 o'clock today? It's just going to be Chiefs Radio Network. God, Karen, you got a tough show.
Yeah, man. He's got a big one today, man. Big one.
But yeah, so we'll have Derek Johnson on in about an hour from now, diving into this Jacksonville game. We'll continue to monitor the weather in Jacksonville. We'll see what the conditions are going to be like. Because, you know, we got to do a little Chiefs parlay today. Got to see about how our parlay went this weekend. Thanks, Nathan. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, New York Giants, for puking all over yourselves.
Yeah, but how about Buffalo losing last night and Philadelphia? I told you on Friday I felt like those two teams were going down.
I said I like Denver plus 3.5 this week. I really do. And I liked New England. So did Bob. And you know.
Yeah, you guys couldn't have been more right about that.
Yeah, I called that outright, man.
I was just sitting at home shaking my head yesterday watching those games.
You're but like, these I'll have the apology son of a ready hunters.
Yeah. When that time comes
but
around.
But that's because I just don't think Buffalo's that good, guys. We're praising this Buffalo Bills team. And, man, they had to scratch one out to win an opening night against Baltimore, who is – and we'll get to Baltimore as the morning rolls along. They're like everybody's get-well game now, so – I mean, like
I think there was also, I heard a comment in the game, not to interrupt, but I think it was also some payback yesterday for Houston because on Christmas Day they got beat 38-2.
Yeah, right.
And they never took their foot off that gas pedal yesterday.
No, they never did, which is great. But I mean, but it also tells you where Baltimore is right now. So we can get into them as the morning rolls along. So Buffalo to me just was never that impressive of a team. Like I'm just looking at them like they're fighting every single week to win and whatnot. And it finally caught up to them. And I just like what's going on in New England right now. I think they're a very good football team, and I think there's an opportunity, you know, that they could sneak into the playoffs because if you look at the West right now, I mean, it's Kansas City, maybe it's L.A., but they lost again yesterday. So much on the line tonight, Dusty. I mean, this is as big a Week 5 game maybe as there's been because the Chiefs win this game tonight. Guess where they are? They're sitting in first place all by their lonesome, well, tied with Denver, I guess, for the top of the AFC. And 3 weeks ago, everybody was crowning the Chargers and saying how great they are. Back-to-back weeks, Giants and Washington, they've lost those two football games. You know, New England beats Buffalo last night. So, I mean, this thing is wide open right now. This is a great opportunity for the Chiefs tonight. That's what makes me so excited about this. We got a chance to make the world right again, brother.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, I mean, that's the joy about the joy of Monday Night Football is you get to see the entire slate develop before your eyes. And, you know, good or bad, depending on how disciplined your team is and where your team currently stands and, you know, competitiveness with the rest of the league, you can kind of sit back and be like, okay, a win tonight is a massive advantage for us.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what the message is in that locker room for the Kansas City Chiefs. So before we get into there, some news that came out yesterday. I'm sure some of you saw that Xavier Worthy questionable tonight. Mm-hmm. It sounded like the shoulder obviously will be on the injury list all year, but then an ankle as well. So there was an ankle issue questionable tonight. But from what we gather, from what we read, from what we've been told, he will probably suit up and be able to play tonight. Yeah. Just going to be a little, of course, you know, a little ginger throughout the game, gingerly running routes because the ankle. We'll see how that plays in effect. So something to monitor, obviously, throughout the day and when they get on the field tonight around, you know, 6 o'clock and they're showing the teams warm up. Hopefully it's just, you know, nothing big. It's just a little rough week of practice and getting back on the field after not playing for 2 or 3 weeks and, you know, he'll move on. But tonight's game is against Jacksonville. And I'm sure there are still some people out there that are like, yeah, kind of nervous. You know, I saw what happened yesterday in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen. Slight advantage you would think with the Kansas City Chiefs. They're always prepared. They're always focused. They're always taught. You know, there's nothing that matters except today.
Right.
Right. And nothing matters more than Jacksonville. And they have a new head coach. You have the tenured in Andy Reid. They have Trevor Lawrence. You have Patrick Mahomes. You have your defense They have theirs. Mm-hmm. Their defense has not played a really significant quarterback yet, so we will see what happens. You saw what happened last night with Buffalo, who finally found a team that is actually competitive and knows how to play the sport of football,
right?
And the results were there. But there is a very big indicator that the name or the phrase first place, because that's there tonight.
That is.
We saw Jacksonville, or we saw the Chargers puke. We saw the Buffalo Bills show their stuff. But again, like, you can go to 3-2. Now, obviously, the Chargers have tiebreaker. They still got to play at Arrowhead on December 14th. That's going to be one hell of a game. And obviously, you haven't played the Broncos yet. But, you know, here we are. And, you know, it's my fault for being an idiot. You know, I was week two, week three, man. Like, the AFC West, it's probably done. It's probably the Chargers. They, you know, they're 3-0. They look superior. They look good. Hey, Dusty, why don't you relax and understand that there's 16 weeks left in the football season, and now all of a sudden you have a chance to really take a stab at this league where first 2 weeks of the season people are having conversations nationally going, hey, you know, that Chiefs dynasty might be done. The window might be closing. And within a win tonight that can be a significant win, which we said, or I said last week, if you can go there in Jacksonville and really stick it to the Jaguars and open up the eyes again, because you put up 22, you put up 37, you go into Jacksonville at night and take care of business and do it in your way that you want to do it, and you control the narrative the entire game, the conversation on Tuesday morning will shift back to the Chiefs are still there, the Chiefs are here, we were idiots, we were dumb, talking nationally, saying this, saying that, myself included, saying the AFC West is over. And all of a sudden, that team that gets its number one target back in 2 weeks or in two games, they, you know, they'll welcome Detroit, and Sunday night will be one of the most viewed games of the season.
Well, it, this is why you don't make decisions. This is why when Spector called me into his office after week two and asked if I could be critical about the Chiefs franchise, I told him to pound sand, and I really did. He goes, are you going to be able to be critical about this team if things go south? I go, things are not going to go south, so I don't think it's something you need to worry about. I said,
right.
But if things do go south, we'll address those issues when those things start to go south. And right now, things are not going south with the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. They weren't going south in the first 2 weeks of this season. It didn't look like what people wanted it to look like, but there's no reason to bail on a team that is coached by Andy Reid, coached by Steve Spagnuolo, and led by Patrick Mahomes. It's fool's gold if you wanted to bail on a franchise that has the three best at their jobs in one organization. There's no better defensive coordinator in the league. There's no better offensive mind in the league. And there's no better quarterback in the league. And when you have that threesome sitting on top, you have an opportunity to win every single game, regardless of who you're playing against. And so for all the folks that wanted to write this football team off after week two because they were sitting at 0-2, that was foolish. You knew they were going to right the ship. You knew that things were going to change in the NFL. And you know, when you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they're a veteran team. They know how to battle through adversity. They know how to fight. They know how to scrap. They know how to find ways to win games. I don't know how many other teams in the NFL have that pedigree and have that ability to go out there and win games. And so now there's a lot on the line. Tonight is a large game. I'm not saying this is the biggest game of the year or anything like that, but this is a big separation game now for the Chiefs. You win this game tonight, you move to 3-2. You and the Denver Broncos then are effectively tied for first place in the AFC West. Chargers are no longer part of the conversation because they're at 3-3 right now. Yeah, they beat you, but you move to 3-2 or whatever it is, you have the leg up on the competition. You have a an opportunity to kind of, you know, jumpstart this thing and stay ahead of the Chargers, right? I guess the Chargers would be 3-2, right? Mm-hmm. They're sitting at 3-2
as
well.
Denver and the Chargers,
all sitting at 3-2. That's right. So, but effectively, you're playing for first place tonight, and you win this game, and you're sitting at 3-2. Denver's 3-2. Chargers are 3-2, and everybody else is looking at it going, here come the Kansas City Chiefs. Here they come, right? Because it's a Monday night game. It's national television. Everybody's going to be watching the game in the NFL circles, and you have an opportunity to go out there and really put on one hell of a show and show this place and show this, you know, this country who the number one team in football is. Because I do think the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL, and that's not hyperbolic. That's not being a homer. That's how I feel after watching this league now for 5 weeks. I'll take the Chiefs over anybody, any place, anytime, anywhere, and they're going to go down to Jacksonville tonight and assert their ability to go out there and keep, I guess, a losing team. It's a losing organization. Keep a team that's, you know, less than you losing, and the Chiefs are going to take care of business and do that tonight.
It's a bad organization. You're right, and I think it's an opportunity to expose what we talked a lot about on Friday, which is the Jacksonville Jaguars turned these teams over, but they've played Mac Jones, Bryce Young,
right. And they have 41 points off of turnovers too, dude. Like
they do,
yeah.
But if the Chiefs can play one of those sound games where they take care of the football, eliminate the penalties on the O-line for a second straight week, there's no reason that you think the Jaguars should be in this game or that we should sweat. Now we will because it's the NFL.
Right. Yeah.
And the Chiefs got a stress-free game last week and it's not going to happen 2 weeks in a row. Ooh. Guys, I didn't think that we'd be in a spot this – I didn't think the AFC West was out of the picture. I thought the one seed might be. Mm-hmm. I certainly didn't think we'd be in this boat so quickly.
The one seed's wide open now again.
The Chiefs control their destiny too.
Yeah.
They're a game behind Buffalo. They play Buffalo. They're going to be tied in the loss column with the Chargers and the Broncos. They play both of those teams. And this is a conference in which – I mean, based on what the Ravens are doing, the Steelers and the Colts are probably the 3 and 4 seed in this thing.
Right.
I mean, the wild card teams, none of them are impressive. The Chargers have just lost to the Commanders and the Giants. I mean, so this is a conference that's looking really, really weak compared to how it usually you're thinking you got Burrow and Lamar and Josh Allen and all these guys in the playoffs. That's not going to be the case. I mean, the Chiefs really are in control of this thing. They're in the driver's seat. And not even 2 weeks ago did I think it was going to be a possibility.
And that's a great point, too. They do control their own destiny right now because they have an opportunity to continue to win. And if you beat Buffalo, well, you've got the tiebreaker over them. You go and beat the Chargers, you'll have – if this all plays out and we have the same records and all that stuff, yes.
And each team is going to lose more games between then, and I understand that. But I did not think that the AFC Championship game had a chance of being played at Arrowhead this season, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah. And maybe even waking up yesterday morning, you're probably thinking, oh, Buffalo probably going to find a way to win or whatever the case may be and whatnot. But they didn't, and so you're right. This thing is wide open. There is a great opportunity for the AFC Championship game to roll through Arrowhead Stadium again. So go out there and take care of business, and I think you're right. You don't turn the football over tonight. I think you win this game going away because that's where Jacksonville is dominant. That's where most NFL teams dominate. They get the turnovers. They get the penalties, and they find ways to win games like we were watching with the Chargers. They don't rough the punter in that situation. They probably end up winning that game over Washington yesterday.
Yeah, Jacksonville's scheduled to give it reference. Bryce Young, week one. Jake Browning, week two. And they lost that game.
Yep.
Houston, week three. And the 49ers in week four. Mac Jones, C.J. Stroud, who hadn't figured things out yet. He didn't get to play the Ravens. Jake Browning, who lost just Trevor Lawrence threw 3 interceptions as well. I believe it was a bad game for Trevor Lawrence, at least 2 interceptions.
Well, that's when he and Liam Cohen also
were fighting with each other. Right.
So maybe they're starting to gel, but either way, this is like the real stretch of their schedule. They go Chiefs, Seahawks, Rams the next 3 games. So we'll see if Jacksonville's that team, because I think this game is going to show you a lot by the time the second quarter is under wraps, but in full go. Because Jacksonville, this is point differential by quarters. Jacksonville is plus 35 point differential in the second quarter.
That's crazy.
The Kansas City Chiefs are plus 21. So both of these teams, now the Chiefs are negative 15 in the first quarter, but where they shift in power is Jacksonville is minus 3 and minus 12 in the third and fourth quarter. Now, some of those games might be late scoring, but the games that I just referenced to you, none of them are really blowouts by Jacksonville. So maybe there's a little bit of garbage time, but the Chiefs are plus 21 in the second quarter point differential, plus 10 in the third, and plus 5 in the fourth.
They get stronger as the game goes along. And like that's a Spags defense right there in a nutshell. Yep. Negative in the first quarter and then dominates the rest of the way.
And that's plus 21 versus plus 35. You look at strength of schedule, you like the Chiefs. Now, I like the Chiefs in the second. That's where I'm going to see where everything goes, because if they can take advantage in the first quarter and we know they get really going in the second quarter, then by the time you get to halftime, if they've got a little bit of a cushion, you can kind of sit back and be like, all right, let's see what this team is going to do against Jacksonville tonight. So we'll find out 7:15, 7:30, somewhere around there is when they'll start playing your Monday Night Football game in Jacksonville. But it is a Tuesday, so we get to do our
Monday.
It's a Monday, so we get to our overreactions. I just want to do a tough Tuesday.
Well, I was thinking of Demarcado as going to be my tough Tuesday, because the guy just can't seem to hold onto the ball because every year somebody does it. They fumble the ball before they go into the end zone.
I don't understand this, man. Like, what are you doing?
But what you do understand is the Ravens on an overreaction Monday.
Yeah, that's my overreaction this week. I got a couple of them. The Raiders are done, right? I just think the Ravens are done.
I'll get to the Raiders.
Yeah, you can. I mean, they're done too. But the Ravens are done. They're everybody's get well team right now. The last couple of weeks, really all season long, Lamar is, saying I'm done with this situation here. Their worst start in team history, giving up a ton of points. First team in the Super Bowl era to allow 37 or more points in four of their first five games. That's supposed to be a defensive-led franchise. They are now officially the get-well game. They are now the Cleveland Browns. They used to be the Cleveland Browns, and they're playing like the team that they used to be. So the Baltimore Ravens, for me, are done. I think Detroit and Kansas City are the two best teams in the NFL right now, and we get that showdown happening a week from yesterday over at Arrowhead Stadium. I just think they're the two best teams in this league right now. Jackson Dart, I think, is going to be a stud. Had a lot of fumbles and miscues in that game yesterday. You clean those things up. That guy's got just the moxie and a mom that's awesome, too. The Eagles are going to unravel.
Smash.
And I think that loss that they had yesterday, the Philadelphia Eagles, man, look out, A.J. Brown. It's going to get loud inside that locker room after that loss yesterday, because that was a brutal loss to the Denver Broncos yesterday. But we called that. We told you going into the weekend that Philadelphia was going to lose, so you should have been ready for that one. But even still, like, I think it's going to unravel in Philly now. Things are good when you win. That guy wearing a cutoff sweatshirt on the sideline, he going to get a lot of flack, I'm sure, in Philadelphia this morning.
Quarterback couldn't hit the deep ball yesterday. My overreaction Monday is the Raiders are worse this year than they were last year.
Oh, my God.
I also think that we've said this before. Time is undefeated. It waits for no man ever.
Yep.
Geno Smith is done in the NFL. He's now thrown 8 interceptions in 3 weeks. He went 3-3-2. Like we said, I don't know if Pete Carroll still got it. I don't know if Geno Smith. I know for a fact Geno Smith ain't got it. The Raiders are worse than I thought. Watching that game yesterday, they play. I mean, I think the Colts are better than we give them credit for.
The Colts.
I think the Raiders are worse than we give them credit for. So, good for the Indianapolis Colts. Their offensive line is a problem. Jonathan Taylor is a huge problem. If you play him in fantasy football or against him in fantasy football, and Geno Smith can't stop turning the ball over. They need somebody else. Hey, Dylan Gabriel looked good. Cleveland don't want Shador Sanders.
Yeah, Damian Lillard wants him to the Raiders.
I mean, dude, you got to put people's ass
do
in
it,
seats.
Do it.
And
do it.
Why not?
Do it.
Deion approves.
Do it.
Put Shador in Vegas. That's my overreaction. Geno is done. The Raiders are terrible, and Geno Smith is out. Why not go put that put that Vegas show of Shador Sanders and put it in Las Vegas.
I don't hate that at all. I think it'd be great. Damian Lillard, time to go ahead and trade for Shador, man. SMH. He put Shador and Ashton Gentry together in a graphic.
I mean, well, Nathan, you have an overreaction today?
I've got a couple, and I was unfortunate enough to play Jonathan Taylor in fantasy this week. So
Yeah.
Not feeling great about that going into Monday Night Football, but my first overreaction is Mike Vrabel's a top five coach in the league. Mm. The Titans made a huge mistake by letting that guy go.
No question.
Even if we're not being hyperbolic, that was one of the dumbest decisions in recent league history.
Yes, it was.
And
yes.
How is Brian Callahan working out for the Tennessee
Titans?
Well,
they won yesterday, yeah.
Sure.
Well, did they win or were they gifted?
No, they were gifted. Yeah. They were gifted a game. Yeah,
Arizona.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Kyler Murray thing needs to end too. That guy's been terrible for years. But yeah.
But I think we talk about Reed being one, Tomlin being two, because of longevity, and then this new crop of guys after them, the Shanahans, the McVays. I think Vrabel's in that class of coaches. Mm-hmm. I think he consistently gets the fact that that Titans team went to an AFC championship game, was in that game for most of the games, I think is Mike Vrabel's doing.
Yep.
I think he consistently gets more out of his roster than he should. My other overreaction is the Buccaneers are going to the NFC championship game.
They're a good football team.
They can score.
Yep.
They did that without Mike Evans. They almost came back against the Eagles a few weeks ago, and that would have been quite the comeback. And it's a league that we talked about. You just said the Lions are probably the best team. The Eagles look, you know, human. Mm-hmm. The Packers are not infallible anymore. I think this could be a Buccaneers team that sort of takes advantage of that. Finally, the Toronto Blue Jays, guys, they just scored. They just hit another home run. I don't know if you missed that.
I just saw
continuing to score. Yeah. No, I think they got to be the favorites to come out of the AL. They pounded the Yankees this weekend in both of those games.
And as Dusty said before the show started, we'll go back to Toronto tied at 2 for the final game 5 later this week.
Yeah, we'll go to the Bronx. And my guy Volpe will show all you New York haters that he's actually a solid shortstop.
He is. He's having himself a nice little run in the playoffs. It's hard. Like in the postseason now for the Yankees, if you're not perfect, people are going to destroy you. And I'm sure Aaron Judge is probably going to get
run out. Is he hit a home run yet?
No, okay. He's not hit a home run yet. One more thing on your Raiders, just to further this point. This is a great one. Geno Smith, you mentioned 9 interceptions this year. The Raiders have 8 touchdowns.
God. And he's thrown 8 of those in 3 weeks.
That guy has more interceptions than the Raiders have touchdowns at this point in time.
Let me follow that up with another stat, Bob.
Yeah.
This is your Arizona Cardinals timeline yesterday.
Yeah, okay.
Somebody says it's from NFL memes. The Arizona Cardinals just suffered perhaps the most hilarious loss in NFL history.
Yeah.
21-6, fourth quarter lead.
How much time was left when they were up 21-6?
I'm getting there. Fumbled crossing the goal line to go up 28-6.
That's right.
Then fumbled an interception for a touchdown up 21-12 with less than 5 minutes left. Arizona would go on to lose the game 22-21 to Tennessee.
It was remarkable. Like you could not have, you could not, honest to God, scripted that any better. And the Kyler Murray throw where he was under duress and just kind of threw it away, what to me is a microcosm of who Kyler Murray is as a quarterback. He's not a winner. He's not a leader. He's not the guy that I would want leading my team. It is time for the Arizona Cardinals to move on from Kyler Murray. And really, if you're in the NFL and you fumble before the goal line because you threw it down like a jackass, you should be banned from the league too because you're too stupid to play in the NFL.
Just wait till you get to the font.
Yeah.
Right? Wait till you get to the letters and then be like, release. When you see the white line, hold on to it. And then when you see the letters, release it. It's that simple.
And
what's
the rush? Because we don't
I don't know.
I don't know.
Sometimes you'll see guys after they score, they chuck the football into the stands, right? And when these guys fumble, they're not like prematurely doing a celebration that like involves.
They're just throwing the ball down nonchalantly. Yeah.
What is that about? It's like I got to look cool and act like I don't.
I've been here before and I don't understand. Yeah. Now, cross the goal line, barrel roll in, secure that ball over the goal line, score a touchdown, and do whatever you want with the ball at that point in time because these things cost teams games. Like, honestly, yesterday, that was a loss that was taken away from Tennessee because Arizona was too stupid to win the game. Like, those are the things that you see that if you're a fan of another team have to drive you nuts. Like, we make, like, some Juwan Taylor mistakes and things like that. Could you imagine watching a team who they don't even know how to score a touchdown?
Oh, that was brutal. And then there's Miami.
Yeah. And now, has he gotten fired yet? Today's a good day to fire him.
Did you see the video of Mike McDaniel walking back to the locker room?
No.
Oh, boy, it's tough.
Is it a tough watch?
It's very sad. Like you just know he's like
the Hulk walking away music type of thing?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's by himself, just completely disheveled and head kind of down, like, I'm getting that call tomorrow, aren't I? And it's like, well, you lost to Carolina and you were up the entire game.
You lost to Bryce Young. I mean, like, weren't they up like 21-0 or something in this one and blew it big? Like, it's just absolutely gross. Like, today's
24-6. Yeah, that was a big one.
Today's the perfect day to fire Mike McDaniel in Miami. I just feel like, you know what? It's time. It is time to move on from him. And I think Callahan probably spared himself another week because they got that stupid win in Arizona.
Yeah, this was just your typical NFL Sunday, is what Adam Schefter says. Titans overcame an 18-point deficit to defeat Arizona. Panthers overcame a 17-point deficit to defeat Miami. Broncos overcame a 14-point deficit to defeat Philadelphia. Saints overcame an 11-point deficit to defeat the Giants. Commanders overcame a 10.1 to defeat the Chargers.
Right. So, it's not over till it's over, as Yogi said, man.
Any given Sunday.
Yep.
Monday's football coverage is presented by Busey Bank, where they focus on your success. At Busey Bank, they've been building businesses and growing wealth since 1868. Learn more at BuseyBank.com. We get back on the other side. We dive into Denver wins, Chargers loses, Kansas City has a chance to win the entire weekend. On the other side here, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rolling along on a Monday, Chiefs-Jags tonight, Monday Night Football. That's right, you get Buck and Aikman, baby. Everyone's favorite broadcaster.
Or you can watch Peyton and Eli.
Yeah, I can't.
Not for a game like this, I'm not. No.
I've even tried it with teams that I don't have any dog in the fight, and yeah. I still am just like, I'm distracted, I don't know what I'm watching, and I'm going to stick to the actual broadcast.
The actual broadcast. Yeah, I like to check in every once in a while. Like, if it's a game I don't care about and I'm looking for something to watch, I'll put Peyton and Eli on. They make me laugh. They have some good guests on there. But for a game like tonight with the Chiefs, first place on the line, it's a huge one tonight. I don't need Peyton and Eli joking around and Eli, you know, calling out Peyton or whatever they're going to do. It's great. I enjoy it, but it's not for a game that I'm invested in, you know, like I am tonight. You say everybody's favorite broadcaster, Joe Buck. Was that in jest or was that because I think he's come around more now than he had been like 10 years ago, you know?
T minus 8 seconds. So the text line lets you know how they feel about Joe
Buck. Yeah.
Or if you really want to, you can put your TV on mute and listen to 96.5 The Fan.
That's
hear
right.
Mitch, Danon, and Kling.
Right.
Give you the entire game.
That's right.
If you know, you know.
Uh-huh.
So tonight, very interested in this game. Still kind of interested in what the weather's going to look like because we heard the reports last week when we were talking to Nate Taylor and people like that. Like, it could be sloppy, could be rainy. Could be a slot pit of a game, which advantage I think there is Jacksonville because of the way they like the ball. But again, advantage defense as well for Coach Spags and his unit. But yesterday was big because tonight you get an additive shot of adrenaline that you didn't have until the conclusion of yesterday.
Absolutely.
So you get to sit back and watch everybody kind of do their thing on a Sunday and play Monday Night Football in a game that I think pre-schedule were like, this sucks, Jacksonville Chiefs, Monday Night Football. But then you look at the season, you're like, this game's actually going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Denver beats Philadelphia, Chargers lose, and then you get another present last night, and Buffalo loses to New England. Opens up a lot of different categories for this Chiefs team to start kind of cruising down those lanes. The AFC West is very much more a gettable division again.
Oh, huge.
The number one seed is not dead in the water. I'm interested to know when Alex Gold gets here because he said for the last 2 weeks, the one seed's not a chance. Buffalo's schedule's too soft. It'll continue to stay soft, mm-hmm. but they will have to play New England again, and this time it'll be in New England.
Yeah.
And they still got to play the Chiefs. So there are things that will, you know, develop throughout the season. But this is that's the shot of adrenaline that you didn't know that you were going to get that all of a sudden you got.
Yeah.
And I think the Chiefs can use that to their advantage tonight, knowing they can't look ahead, obviously, to what that game is next Sunday night, which is going to be insane. Number one offense, one of the top defenses, Goff, Mahomes at it again. We'll get into that all this week later on, starting Wednesday. But tonight is a game that you do get an extra shot in the arm because you have what happened yesterday. Everything seems to give you the advantage.
Yeah, if you were, you know, a negative fan after the first 2 weeks of the season, you should be a positive fan today. As negative as you were after the 0-2 start, you should be as positive today, waking up and getting ready for this game. Like, this should be one of these days that for you, looking forward to this game tonight, it makes the day drag on, right? We're still more than 12 hours away from kickoff of this game. But based on what we saw yesterday around the NFL, you as a Chiefs fan and me as a Chiefs fan and Dusty as a Chiefs fan and Nathan as a Chiefs fan and Mac, I'm sure somewhere as a Chiefs fan, is waking up this morning and you're thinking to yourself, this league has come right back to us, just like we knew it would. Just like we don't make a decision after week two of the NFL season. We don't start the playoffs on September 15th. We don't make a decision on the baseball playoffs after opening day. We love to make these automatic decisions instead of just allowing everything to play out. And when you look around this league, you were going to trust Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills to go 17-0 this season. You were going to trust, I don't know, let's think of another team, the Chargers, to carry out what they were doing and win the AFC West based on everything that they've done. You were going to count on Denver, who won a game yesterday. I'm just not sold right now on the Denver Broncos. Philadelphia Eagles, they're not a team that's going to go out there and dominate. I think there are probably 2 to 3 really dominating teams in this league. The Chiefs are one of them. Detroit, you mentioned, is another one. You brought up Tampa earlier. I kind of like what they're doing right now, sitting at 4-1 right now. But if you're waking up this morning not stoked about this Chiefs game because of everything that is on the line, you got to be nuts. You got to check your pulse. Like, this is a big one tonight, and there is so much on the line, and the world can come back to us, and everybody can feel good, 15 hours from now, knowing the Chiefs are in first place again in the AFC West, and they're not going to relinquish that first place spot in the AFC West.
Would Nathan?
You're right that making a snap judgment after week two was foolish. And a lot of people did that. I mean, we heard what people said. We read the text line.
Dusty's raising his hand.
Dusty, I mean, yeah, and he's not alone.
No, I said, no,
90%
no,
of Chiefs fans.
I'm honest. Yeah. I said the West is probably over for the first time.
Yeah. I thought the one seed was dead in the water. I was with Alex on that. I thought the division was in play just because of who the Chargers are, you mentioned, Bob. But the biggest thing was I was worried about how reliant we were on just saying, hey, wait till Worthy and Rice get back. Mm-hmm. And that offense looked like one that could not be solved by just an upgrade at wide receiver. I mean, it was disjointed. Even until halftime of that Giants game,
sure,
it was bad, guys. It took a couple of drives with even a hobbled Worthy that wouldn't engage in contact with anyone, that would get down and get out. Like, he couldn't reach his full speed, or he could have broken away and scored on that one play if he wasn't worried about getting hit on his right shoulder, right? But he stepped out of bounds. Even with a limited Worthy, seeing how much smoother things ran when guys just had space, mm-hmm, someone that could beat man-on-man coverage. It's like, okay, I feel totally fine. And now the Bills have lost. They've come back down to earth, and they control their own destiny again.
Right.
So my biggest concern was not the other teams. It was, hey, I don't think Rice and Worthy could solve this. And now I think they can.
Yeah.
So I think it's another flip side of this as well. And obviously we've talked about, now he's looking at an ankle, which kind of popped up. So, mm-hmm, so we'll see how the next couple of weeks look till Rice gets back.
But it's funny you say that. I didn't realize that. You know how many people I talked to just early in the week, last week, they came up to me and go, I didn't realize one guy can make all the difference in the world. I'm like, yeah. I mean, when you have a guy like that with speed out there that can just run by the defenders and nobody can stop him, whether he has the football or not, yeah, that adds a lot to the equation. We saw it with Tyreek Hill. What a difference Tyreek Hill made on this team. And so that's the way you have to factor it in. You saw the difference that Tyreek made. Now we've got two guys that are capable of making a difference like Tyreek Hill did. And he was only one guy back in the day. And so you add these players in that are dynamic playmakers, and all of a sudden your offense gets that much better. And then the emergence of Rashard Smith last week was huge, I think, for this team.
And we know for a fact he's going to get some more play tonight. Yep. We've heard the bites and sounds from the media, Nagy and Andy Reid both kind of implicating that he's going to get more reps more and more as the season goes on. Chargers schedule moving forward, not the greatest, but not the easiest. They will play the Dolphins next week. Then they will play the Colts. Then they will play the Vikings on Thursday night at home. Mm-hmm. Then they get the Titans, Steelers, Jags bye week. Mm-hmm. So, got to take advantage. They still have the tiebreaker as of now, but you will then play them again in Kansas City in the middle of December. I'm assuming that game is probably going to be flexed if it's not already a 3:25 game, but it's going to be one of those games where, here we go again, AFC West on the line, Buffalo, Kansas City, here we go again, number one seed on the line. Bob's got 6 points as to why this game could be an opportunity at its finest for the Kansas City Chiefs here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.